We are back after a couple
Powered
week
by
long
Riverside Event.
hiatus. We have episode 27 of the Gridiron Pulse podcast. Here with my boys, Cole and Carter. How we doing, gentlemen?
Pretty good, man. Can't complain. Cannot complain.
Oh, yeah, same here, man. It's good to be back. You know, we had a bit of a hiatus, as you said. You know, some things going on behind the scenes, but all good things. Good things. You know how life can be. Sometimes gets pretty busy. You know, all that stuff, but we're back here, and I mean, I'm seeing the tweets, man, of like this many Saturdays until college football, and it starts from like 18 and it gets all the way down, but now we are like, we're in like the 3 to 4 range. Like, I can't remember how many Saturdays it is, but it's getting close, so you already know I'm ready to get it going.
Yeah, I don't know how many Saturdays essentially, but I got dates. I know it starts on August 23rd, and we're sitting here late July, July 28th, so we're getting there. We're getting close. And with getting closer to college football comes at least some sort of breaking news at least once or twice a day. And today we have an interesting topic here, as Deion Sanders is holding a live press conference with his own personal medical team. So we're going to dive a little bit deeper into that, just kind of get our own opinions and see what essentially that's going to mean for college football. Cole, you want to start out with that? What do you think?
Oh, yeah, I could go ahead and get this one started, man. I mean, when it comes down to it, I think this is two options, really, that it could be, the more that I think about this. It could either be A, which I think is probably going to be the more likely one, is that Deion is going to announce his retirement. Because we know he's been having some health issues, and more than likely, I think this is going to be, you know, him kind of saying his farewell to Colorado and the college football world. Or it could be that he's saying he's just taking like a year off, something like that. But I feel like with just how documented his health issues are with everything, I feel like it's more than likely he'll just kind of want to bounce. And I mean, obviously for him, you know, obviously, you know, wish him all the best in his health and everything like that. But when we look at the football ramifications for it, you got now Colorado, who knows who their interim head coach is going to be and what it means for the future of their program. Now, we know that the Colorado wasn't a big time high school recruiting pipeline anyway. They were more so portal guys, but if Deion's gone, then I don't know if there's like a portal window that opens because of like extenuating circumstance with the head coach. Because if that happens, then I don't even know if Colorado's going to have a team. Like, of course, next year we know probably more than all their good players are going to portal out if Deion's not there, which honestly, that probably was going to happen anyway for Colorado, because even if Deion was going to coach this year, there was really no scenario, at least that we all saw, where he was going to be coaching this team for more than 3 years potentially. So overall, I think it's just, it was going to happen eventually, but the fact that, again, this is all if he ends up retiring today, then that would be quite a shock to just the college football world. Not necessarily that it happened, but that it's happening right now. So really, that's all I got, is that Colorado is going to be hard-pressed to scramble to find something. Not that we thought they were going to be anything great to begin with, just because of the talent that they lose, but that's just going to be crazy. So that's really what I got.
Yeah, I'm kind of like the same with you, Cole. I think this is either going to be Deion kind of like, you know, saying his goodbyes to coaching and retiring. Just, of course, like you said, you know, there's a long documented history with his health. I know I'm pretty sure he had to get a few toes amputated or something like that. So it's probably something, I would assume it's something related to that, because I don't know if you guys saw the cryptid like Instagram post that he put out. So I think it's like, at first I was like, okay, man. But now, like, I think it's actually like something pretty serious. So obviously, like, I hope everything's all right with Deion. I mean, obviously, I hope his health is all right. And if he needs to step away from the game for his health, then, I mean, I'm not going to fault the man for it at all. So I think it's What I personally think it's going to happen, I think he's going to take this year off and then potentially come back to coaching, whether if it's at Colorado or if he decides he wants to go to the NFL. Either one of those two, I think he's going to take this year off, you know, to get his health better and then return to coaching, wherever the case that may be. And if he doesn't come back to Colorado, they're in a pretty bad situation because, you know, all those highly touted recruits, I mean, literally went to Colorado because Deion is there. I mean, let's be real. So they're going to be in a world of hurt if Deion either retires or comes back to coaching after this year and doesn't come back to Colorado. They're screwed either way. So it'd be interesting to see. I'm not sure exactly. Did Nick Saban retire? Like, he retired in the offseason, right? Because I know, like, they had a bunch of players leave. So it kind of reminds me of that situation, even though, I mean, Saban did it, like, early in the offseason, not, like, a couple weeks before, like, the season started. So should be interesting. Definitely will be tuning in for that. So that's all I got.
And, yes, that was in the offseason because I vividly remember pulling into a parking lot, falling to my knees in a Starbucks, thanking the good Lord. So that was definitely in the off season. Exaggerating, but still, pretty much would have done that.
Yeah, I think I agree with Paul here mostly. I don't think he's at the point of his life. Like, he's getting pretty old. I don't think he's just going to take a year off and then decide to come back, whether it be to Colorado or somewhere else. I think if he's done, he's done. And he most likely announces his retirement today. Some would call it an Urban Meyer situation, but I wouldn't agree with that. I mean, he has a well-documented, not-so-great health history over the past just like 3 to 4 years now. And what that means for Colorado is most likely they're going to promote internally and at least start off with an interim head coaching title. So I have their coaching staff pulled up. Honestly, he did a good job of putting together a staff. There are several people on here that I could see with being at least a mildly successful head coach at Colorado. Some of the big names on here include their current offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach, Pat Shurmur. Obviously has quite a long history in the NFL. Assistant coach and running backs coach, Marshall Faulk. some big names on here. And then just another one that catches my eye here is defensive pass rushing coordinator Warren Sapp.
Sheesh, so, man.
A couple Hall of Famers, a couple long NFL history coaches. So, I mean, that's probably the only hope that they have in terms of keeping their current roster intact. I don't quite know how the portal scenario is, like y'all mentioned, because I know there's a clause within the portal. If your coach leaves, like, you're allowed to transfer. But the portal window closed like a week or two ago officially for the off season. So I don't know if they're going to be able to open it back up or what's really going to happen here. But I think they're probably going to – the one with the best or highest ranking title right here that I'm seeing is Pat Shurmur. He's the offensive coordinator and the quarterback's coach. So if I had to guess, they're probably going to name him at least interim for now and probably full-time head coach here at least at some point in time throughout the season. But, yeah, it's definitely a weird little scenario here, so – yeah, that's pretty much all I have on the topic.
But here's the biggest caveat to this topic. Assuming this happens, what does this mean for 5-star Julian Lewis? I mean, because you got to think he's out of there if Deion's out of there. But then it's like, is this a situation where he tried to crawl back to USC? Like, will USC take him back? Is this a situation where he, you know, I'm not going to say the Georgia thing. That probably will not happen.
I think he's probably going to end up at USC.
Yep. The best odds in terms of where he's going to go. But, I mean, just interesting to think about. Then, of course, just the other recruits there. So, yeah, kind of just an overall weird situation for golf.
Anything else on that particular topic? All right, let's just roll right in here to some conference championship predictions. This is another topic that our creative director, Mr. Cole, came up with today.
Oh, I know.
We have,
Very just innovative. No one's doing this.
yeah, I mean, especially not any type of sports podcast, but we interpret it all a couple different ways. So I went through all the conferences, and then I just picked like the conference championship game matchup, so I'll be able to dive into who I think is going to win those particular games, just looking at schedules and stuff like that. So the first one we're going to start with here, so we're just going to run through the Power Four, and then if you guys want to add anything on the G5, we can do that too, but I actually have the G5 games here as well, so I'll run through those really quick after we're done here. So let's start off with the ACC. Just going in alphabetical order here.
Who could it possibly be?
I don't know, dude. This one was weird. Right, so I'm just gonna give my championship game prediction. I have Clemson versus Miami. Ooh, I know. So unhinged in a hot take. But the only other two teams that I really considered here were Louisville and SMU. Potentially being in the games. And I pulled up their schedules, man. I mean, they definitely both have a much more difficult draw in the regular season. They both have to play Clemson. And I think they both have to play Miami as well, but Miami does not have to play Clemson. So just by like order of operations here, it seems like the easiest path to the championship is Clemson versus Miami because they don't play each other in the regular season.
All right. Are you guys ready for my first hot take of the year?
So, how are we doing this? Are we all just like starting at a conference, giving our each predictions of that conference, and moving on to the next one? Is that what I assume we're
Yeah,
doing?
I'll give my game prediction and then I'll let you guys do your thing and then I'll say who I think is going to win at the very end. It's just going last.
You got it, Carter. Sorry to cut you off.
No, you're good. So this is I've been beating this drum all off season. This is one of my more hotter takes of the year, but I don't know why, but I truly think that Georgia Tech is going to win the ACC this year. I do. Hear me out. So I will say this will literally come down to the Clemson game in week three. They play Clemson and Georgia Tech play each other, but it is at Georgia Tech. So if we know anything from last year, I mean, I'm not gonna compare Miami to Clemson because I think Clemson is gonna have a better team than Miami. But I mean Georgia Tech beat them last year, and hell, they should have beat us last year. So I wouldn't say I'm like as confident in this pick. I mean, if I were to be boring, I would say Clemson, but I'm gonna go for Georgia Tech versus Clemson in the ACC championship, and I think Georgia Tech wins, and I think they will go to the playoff this year.
Do you think Georgia Tech beats Clemson twice next year?
I wouldn't say that. I think Georgia Tech will lose. I don't know, I'm not high on the ACC like at all. I don't think it's particularly good. I'm not a big believer in Miami. I think they're mediocre. I mean, I don't care if they have Carson Beck. I don't. I'm not. Basically, I'm not an ACC person. I don't think they're good at all. I think it's a pretty mediocre conference. So that's why I have Georgia Tech winning it all.
I will say, to your credit, Carter, if you had said SMU is going to be in the ACC championship and be a field goal away from beating Clemson, you would have been laughed at and called crazy too. So I will give you that credit. And also, looking at Georgia Tech's schedule, it's again not the greatest, but again, it's the ACC, so you're not really going to get the greatest competition. There are a few sneaky games in there. They got to go at Duke, and you might laugh, but Duke with the Darian Mensah, they have been pretty solid the past few years. They got Syracuse, which Cuse is kind of buzzing right now under Fran Brown. Virginia Tech comes to town. Say what you want about Virginia Tech. So there is an avenue for them to make the ACC championship for sure. And initially, whenever you said that, I thought you were crazy. But then again, I gotta say, this is the ACC. Weird stuff happens. This is basically the pseudo Big 12, where essentially outside of Clemson and then maybe Miami, it's basically wide open. Now, of course, you know, your Boston colleges, like we know, like they're not doing anything. But I will allow it. Okay. It's definitely a hot take, but it was a hot take to say that SMU was going to be in the championship last year, too.
I will say they don't play Louisville. They don't play Miami. I think they have one of the more easier schedules. I mean, they still have to play Clemson, Syracuse, like you said, obviously Georgia. And hell, I mean, I think that they're going to beat Colorado pretty good to start the opening year, but it's still an away game, sure. But I don't know, I think Georgia Tech has one of the more, you know, easier schedules in the ACC, so that's why I think they're going to gonna go to the ACC and win it.
Now, yeah, they definitely do have a manageable schedule, like you said. Well, I'll just go ahead and move on to mine. Yeah, I'm gonna be, as Carter would say, quote unquote, boring, and I'm just gonna make the smart pick, take Clemson. Until, I mean, last year, of course, they won it. I just think that with the returning production that they have, they have the best quarterback in the conference. They have the best receiving core in the conference. They have all the talent on the defensive side. There really is nothing more I can tell you of why Clemson's going to win the ACC. So I'm going to make the safest pick, and I think the smartest pick, and I think I'm just going to take Clemson in this one. Really nothing else. This was the easiest one by far prediction that I had.
Yeah, if you call, I think Clemson will beat Miami in the AFC Championship game by at least two touchdowns.
Do
Probably three.
Clemson and Miami play each other in the regular season?
All right. Moving on here to the Big 12, which is the most jumbled mess of a conference that you could ever find. So, in my Big 12 championship game, I have Arizona State versus Texas Tech. I think they're pretty far and away the most talented teams in the conference, especially with what Texas Tech has done with the portal and NIL. But yeah, that's who I have in the championship game. I think Sam Leavitt and what's that, Jordan Tyson, they're gonna have a big year together again. I think Jordan Tyson's probably gonna be up there for the Blitkanoff. So that'll be an interesting game, an interesting matchup for sure.
You know, Jacob, that's initially who I picked, but I'm actually going to go to the opposite. I think Texas Tech is going to beat Arizona State. I'm going for full chaos this year in the playoff. To be honest with you, I went kind of back and forth with this, but like you said, I think Texas Tech really loaded up in the portal. Obviously, Arizona State lost Cam Scataboo, which if Arizona State still had Cam Scataboo, it'd be a no-brainer for me, Arizona State. But like you said, they still have Sam Leavitt, who I'm really high on, and then Tyson, who I think, like you said, I think he's going to be one of the better wide receivers this year. But I don't know, I like what Texas Tech did more in the offseason, so I'm going to go with the Red Raiders to win the Big 12.
I went back and forth on this one. I was between two teams. The two teams that I was down to, Texas Tech, Baylor. Don't sleep on the Baylor Bears this year. But I am pretty high on Texas Tech. Of course, like I said, they went all out in the offseason, and it's either going to go one of two ways. It's either going to backfire tremendously, and they're going to be the joke of the rev share era, or they're going to provide a blueprint of how you build a roster, especially at least in the Big 12. I'm going to trust what they've done. I'm going to trust the oil out there in Texas. I'm taking Texas Tech in this one. Looking at their schedules, I mean, again, I just think Texas Tech might have more of a favorable schedule. So Baylor, Arizona State. I mean, they do have Arizona State and Kansas State both at home. They got to go at TCU, which that's a rivalry game. Anything could happen. Cincinnati, I mean, that's a pretty favorable schedule. Texas Tech, on the other hand, has to go at Arizona State. at West Virginia. They have BYU at home. Texas Tech has to go at Utah. Dang. I'm sick of a Texas Tech, though, but I would not be shocked if Baylor pulls out, because just looking at that, I think Baylor might have the more favorable schedule. But that's hard to predict, though, because the Big 12, there's really not a wrong prediction unless you pick Cincinnati.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, in terms of odds that I have looking up and I'm looking at right here, I'm surprised nobody picked Kansas State. I thought skipping over them was going to be because one of y'all were going to pick them. But Kansas State has the best odds to win the conference right now, tied with Texas Tech, +500. Then is Utah and Baylor at +600. Little old Arizona State made the college football playoff last year and returned just about everyone except for Scatabu, +650. Then we see a drop off, then it's TCU at 800, Iowa State at 1300, and so on and so forth. But I'm going to go with my gut and say Arizona State over Texas Tech. I think it's going to be an awesome game, and they will find themselves back-to-back years in the college football playoff with Sam Levitt, Jordan Tyson, and Kenny Dillingham. I think they're going to be another good team this year that bigger teams might have to look out for, like Texas, that they almost and probably should have beaten last year. But that's a different topic. So let's move on here to the Big Ten. This one was interesting for me too. I wanted to go kind of off the rails essentially, but I did the boring pick again. Ohio State versus Oregon.
Yeah, I have Oregon winning the Big Ten again this year. I'm someone who's not really like believing all the Penn State hype because I don't like James Franklin as a head coach, but I do like Penn State's players. But I'm gonna go for this game. I'm gonna go Oregon, Ohio State, and Oregon is going to win because Ohio State lost a ton of talent to the NFL, and we don't know what Julian Sand is. So, and also for the fact, I mean, I guess you could say the same for Dante Moore, but he has more playing experience. So I'm gonna go the Ducks over the Buckeyes.
Yep, I'm going with Ohio State in this one. As we saw in the couple episodes previously, me and Jacob are both lower on Oregon than I think the average person is. And to me, it was between Ohio State and Penn State, and it's just one of those things where I'm not picking Penn State until they prove me wrong. I don't care if they have the more experienced quarterback, if they seem like they might have the same comparable talent on paper. I'm not going to pick or buy into Penn State until they show me otherwise. So Ohio State for me is the Big Ten champion.
Yeah, no, I wanted to put Penn State in mine as well. Then I wanted to do Penn State versus Oregon, but then I pulled up the schedules. Penn State has a much, much tougher schedule this year than Ohio State. Ohio State doesn't have really any tough games besides Penn State, I guess. And then I know the big difference there is the experience with quarterback play. I think Julian Sain is going to be just fine. I mean, he's thrown to Jeremiah Smith, Carnell Tate, and every other five-star receiver that you could possibly name. Ryan Day is going to be running the offense, most likely, I think, because they lost Chip Kelly, right? Chip
He's
Kelly's
with
on
the
the Raiders.
Raiders.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm not as high on Oregon, as Cole said, as most people are, but I think they make it to the conference championship game, and Ohio State wins,
My
unfortunately.
dark horse for the Big Ten is Illinois. I think they have a really favorable schedule.
I agree with that.
So, Jacob, with you putting Oregon in the conference championship over Penn State, that must mean that you think that Oregon State's gonna walk in and beat Penn State wide out week, whatever it is.
Oregon is?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Win the big one. They gotta win something. Like, not versus a group of five team in the playoff. That doesn't do it for me. I know they had a crazy running back, but that's it. You had a crazy defense. You can stop the run. But, all right, let's move on here to the SEC. Call me a homer. I dare you. But I have Georgia versus LSU in the SEC championship game. I think LSU might be a little bit of a dark horse to at least make the conference championship. Yeah. What do you guys think?
I'm gonna go real boring here. I'm gonna go Georgia, Texas in the SEC championship. Yeah. I think Texas is really good, even though I think the Dogs are going to hand them two L's again this year. So, I don't know. I'm going to go boring pick here. Give me the Dogs.
You know, I have two hats on right now. My fandom Georgia pick, which that side of me is always going to think Georgia's going to win every game. But for the purposes of this right now, I need to put on my objective hat and just look at this. I mean, would I love for Georgia to beat Texas four times in a row? Of course I would. But sheer probability and math and just, I don't know. Again, I'm pretty high on Texas. I don't want to be. I know it, but I just am. I think they are just as, if not the close to most talented teams in the country. I mean, that's not a hot take at all. Of course, my fan side, picking Georgia, but for the purposes of this, I'm picking Texas to win the SEC. It hurts me to say it, but I think that they've built for this year, for Arch Manning year three. That's going to be my prediction. And plus, Texas has one of the more favorable schedules that you will see in the SEC. Of course, they have to come to Georgia, but this is the rest of their SEC schedule. Florida, Oklahoma, Kentucky, Mississippi State, Vanderbilt, Arkansas, Texas A&M. Now, there are a few toss-ups in there, you know, like Texas A&M rivalry, Oklahoma rivalry, but Vanderbilt, if you can get Vanderbilt, Mississippi State, Kentucky, and Arkansas as four of your SEC games, that's about as favorable as you can get. So I think that even if they were to drop the game to us in Athens, they're more than likely going to still make it. And so, yeah, that's my rationale. I'm picking Texas.
We'll say a dark horse for me is South Carolina.
No way. So it's just good. But, I mean, this LSU-Georgia game, if there's one team in the SEC that genuinely scares me that's not named Texas, it's probably LSU. They got the experience coming back with the quarterback play. They got all the receivers we know. And I was just looking at it. Like, if there's any defensive backfield that's going to be able to at least match up with these receivers, it's ours. I mean, we have some of the best DBs in the country. Four lockdown corners, honestly, and KJ Bolden roaming the top. Trying to put my unbiased hat on right here, but I really do think we're going to have an awesome year. I think Gunner's going to be able to get the job done. It might not be pretty at times, but it's going to be pretty enough. Bringing in all the receivers that we did, all the help he's going to have. The only biggest question that I have for us is the offensive line. If the offensive line can have continuity throughout the whole year and maybe just not get hurt, that would be sick. And I think by the time we get to the SEC championship game, they'll have played, 12? This will be their 13th game together as a cohesive unit. I mean, the talent's there for us. It's just they got to perform. Like we said in our last episode, we got to put together four good quarters of football consistently this year. And if we do that, I think we can beat anyone. I think we'll beat Texas however many times. Bama, sorry, you finally get to come to Athens. I can't wait for that game. And then Ole Miss revenge game. I think those are the big three for sure.
Here's a good question for y'all. I was thinking about this to myself. If you could choose one game to win this year between these two home games, which one are you choosing?
Alabama
or Texas?
Alabama.
Bama.
Yep. I agree. I thought maybe with the recent, you know, emergence, because Texas has been recruiting great their whole time, but the emergence of the sheer recruiting battle, just absolute. Two behemoths going at it on the trail, Texas winning out on a few, Georgia winning out on a few. I mean, that kind of was where my mind went, but no, I agree. We got to get over the Bama hump. I mean, we already have. We've been in the national championship, so I wouldn't even use that wording. But it's in Sanford. You can't lose to Alabama at Sanford Stadium, especially this year with a first-year starting. So I agree with you both.
It'll be the first time in 10 years since Bama's come to Athens, which is crazy to me.
The last time they did it wasn't very fun, but we're not going to talk about that. All right, so real quick, since I looked at all the group of five, I'm just going to lay out the conference championship game scenarios that I have. Then I'll just go through afterwards and pick a group of five bid winner. So right here for the AAC, didn't they rename it? It's just the American Conference, right? Did they drop the Athletic, the AC?
I saw
I know they renamed
something.
it. I forget what they did.
They have a new mascot
Like
now.
the AAC. Yeah, it's oh yeah, right here it says American Conference Championship. Yeah, I think Tulane's probably gonna win that one. Just a pretty obvious pick, the with the talent. I think the triple option can get you pretty far, but it can only get you so far. It goes to a certain extent, and that's probably about to the conference championship game. Conference USA, I got Liberty versus Western Kentucky. I think Liberty's going to win that one, and they're probably one of my favorites, at least to get the G5 bid in the playoff. The
KSU,
MAC, we got,
KSU,
what's that?
KSU.
KSU. They're, oh God.
No, I'm not.
All
They're gonna
right,
be
Toledo
bad.
versus Buffalo in the MAC. I think Toledo is probably going to win this one. I know they got all this returning. Like a redshirt senior quarterback, a lot of returning talent. I'm pretty sure they have a really good tight end too. And our conference, our Grip 10 Dynasty Mountain West slash Pac-12, Boise State versus UNLV. And these two teams are probably going to be the two favorites at least to get the G5 bid. I'm probably going to take Boise just because Carter's sitting here pumping his fist for UNLV. I have kind of a random one. James Madison versus the Louisiana Lafayette Raging Cajuns. I really just kind of wanted to say Raging Cajuns, but they had, I think, the third best odds to win the conference. So, Rage on. Raging Cajuns for the win. And then my favorite for the G5 bid. I want to say Tulane if they start Retzlaff because that dude was like insane last year at BYU. But the heart's telling me to go with Boise State. Yeah, I'm gonna take Boise State.
Yeah, my pick was always Tulane. I think they have the more talented team than Boise. Obviously, I mean, they lose a lot of their offense with Genty going to NFL, so I'm gonna go Tulane.
We remember back to last year. It was Boise State versus UNLV in the Mountain West Championship. And essentially, it was win that game and you're in the playoff, essentially. I think maybe UNLV needed something to happen for them to end up getting in, but I'm pretty sure that was the scenario. I could be stupid for doing this, but UNLV is pretty talented based on what they have in the video game. Let's just say that. I know that more than probably anyone. I didn't even know that Anthony Calandria, the guy from Virginia, was on UNLV now, but they also have Alex Orji. I mean, that's a dual quarterback, whether it's Orji starting or Calandria. I think Orji is going to play regardless, just in quarterback packages, if he isn't the full-time starter. They have a running back who is like that, again, based off a video game. But they also have a bunch of Power Five. Like retreads from there's a corner that was on Texas A&M, that amazing Texas A&M 2022 recruiting class. I think it's going to come down once again to UNLV and Boise State to win that. I would want to say Tulane too, but I just don't know with the quarterback coming in this late in the process. So I'm gonna go out on a limb, I think, here, because I believe they're like plus 1100 to be the group of five bid. I'm taking UNLV. I think that's going to be the conference championship, and I think the UNLV Rebels are going to get it done.
Yes, sir. That's what I like to hear.
Boise State's minus 140 to win the Mountain West, and the San Jose State Spartans plus 900. They don't know yet. You know, put the world on notice. Anything else on conference championships?
I will say, you did mention Toledo there in the end there. I think they are a sneaky potential to sneak up. And when you look at the first playoff bracket projections in November, you see Toledo up there. They do have that fifth-year senior quarterback. They have another corner who's projected to be a top-round pick, I'm pretty sure, that I saw an interview or something where basically they were saying, hey, man, like, you could have gone anywhere. Like, you were getting all these offers to go to Power Five. You come back. Like, and he basically cited who's the corner that went to the Eagles, Quinyon Mitchell. He's like, hey, Quinyon Mitchell did it. Why can't I? Like, Toledo, they seem to have a culture over there that the guys want to stay there and play for that school. So I'm rooting for you, Toledo, because I think that that kind of stuff needs to be rewarded and people need to see that that can work for you, not only just in your college career, but you can be a Quinyon Mitchell and still go to the NFL if you don't go to an Ohio State. So I am rooting for Toledo to do it. So that's my secondary pick.
Speaking of Toledo, just a little side note. They play Kentucky week one, and Kentucky is considered one of the worst, is projected to be one of the worst SEC teams this year. So potential upset alert week one
I would be
at
curious.
Find me a line on that game.
Let's see if they
I said I would be
Kentucky
tuned in.
Kentucky is a 10-point favorite at home. Give me Toledo plus 10.
Back in the line, dude. Toledo money line. Week one. Let's go, dude.
Actually, it's
Oh
actually
my
pretty
gosh,
good.
I will be there.
It's pretty good odds for Toledo. They're plus 280 on the money line.
How are you plus 10 but plus 280 on money?
Kentucky's minus 360. Potential upset alert.
I mean, what time is that game on?
12:45.
What? That's 12:45 on the 30th?
On Tubi, probably. Week one on
SEC
Tubi,
Network.
probably.
It's on Fubo TV. Oh, God. Dude, give me Toledo. Oh, my God. That would be so awesome. I'm very down on Kentucky. I think Zach Calzada is terrible, and they're going to be terrible. So is everyone. That's not a hot take, but they will be last in the SEC. And they will lose to Toledo week one.
Imagine it, that'd be hilarious.
Should we get into the real conference breakdown? Well,
Right.
oh wait,
This
no, I still
is
am first. Okay, let's go.
the Yeah, this is a breakdown of how our Gridiron Pulse, the Grip 10 Dynasty, has shaken up so far. So, as you can see, this picture was taken by me, and I am down here. So, we're not even going to talk about that. We'll let my two co-hosts here, who are riding high at first and second in the conference, go ahead and start. Cole, why don't you start since you're first?
Why, thank you, Jacob. I would love to start here.
Thank
Yes,
you,
as you
Jacob.
can
I would
see,
love
I
to
am
start
currently
here. As
first
you
in the
can see, I
Gridiron
am
Pulse
currently first
Dynasty
in the Gridiron
Pac-12.
Pulse
However,
Dynasty
I am coming off a
Pac-12.
heartbreaking
However, I
loss
am
to
coming
my
off a
guy Hunter
heartbreaking
here. It
loss
was an
to my guy
unbelievable
Hunter here.
game
It
in
was an
Allegiant
unbelievable
Stadium.
game
I went up
in Allegiant
14 to
Stadium.
3,
I
up
went up
17
14
to
to
9
3,
at
up
halftime.
17 to
It went
9
into the
at
fourth
halftime.
quarter, I believe it was
Went into the
17 to
fourth quarter, I believe it was
17.
17 to 17.
I kicked a field goal to make it 20 to
I kicked
17.
a
Carter
field goal
went
to
down
make
and
it 20
scored to
to
make it
17. Carter went
24-20.
down and
I
scored to
drove
make it
all the way
24-20,
down, and it was
and drove
fourth and
all the
goal
way
with
down,
30
and it
seconds
was fourth
left,
and goal with 30
and
seconds
I
left.
rolled to the right,
I
got hit
rolled to
right
the
as I
right,
released it.
got
Ball
hit right
fell
as
on
I
the
released
ground,
it.
game
Ball
over.
fell on the ground,
UNLV
game
won. So
over.
that is my one
UNLV
conference loss.
loss.
But
That
as you can
is my
see,
one
I have two
conference loss.
losses, and
As
that
you can
other
see, I
loss
have
was against
two losses,
Colorado
and
in the
that other
Rocky Mount
loss against
Showdown.
Colorado in the
Another
Rocky Mount
amazing
Showdown.
game.
Another amazing game.
But all else I could say is I'm trying to
All
think of our
else I could say is
preseason
I'm trying to
odds.
think of
Carter
our
was
preseason
one.
odds.
Jacob, I
Carter
believe
was
you were
one.
second, or
Jacob,
Henry
I
was
believe you
second,
were
who
second,
is
or Henry.
Wyoming,
I'm
who
third. Who is Henry was
Wyoming,
second.
who, yeah, he was second. And
Yeah,
we've
he
had a
was
few
second.
users that have had to go
And
on
we've had a
autopilot
few
because they've
users that have had to
been
go on
busy in other
autopilot because they've
aspects.
been busy in
Poor
other
San Diego
aspects.
State and Drew, 0-5.
San Diego State and Drew,
One
0-5.
could say that I broke him because I beat
One
him
could say that I
48-17
broke
in
him
the
because I
first
beat him
matchup,
48-17
so
in the first matchup.
been kind of rough one for
Been
him.
kind of
But there is
rough one
somebody
for
that
him.
is still technically
There is
alive here
somebody
that
that
I
is
think
still
we wrote
technically
off.
alive here.
Mitch and the Utah State Aggies are alive. And I think now it's going to be a long shot. I have two final games against Stanford and CPU Boise, which CPU Boise, apparently they are like that. That is Carter's other conference loss, I believe. And the other loss was to Jacob. So essentially, if I win against Boise, I clinch my spot in the championship game. And there is potential that whoever wins this conference could be the bid into the college football playoff. So there is potential that me and Carter could rematch with a college football playoff bid on the line, which would be generational. I hope we get there, but we're going to have to take care of business in the last two games of the season. So that is kind of what I have in the breakdown.
Yeah, so I am sitting pretty good at 7-2, 5-2 in the conference. Like what Cole said, my only two conference losses, or losses in general, were at Boise, which I don't know what the hell they were feeding their CPU, because damn, I got destroyed the entire game. I literally could not do a thing on offense. It was probably the biggest beatdown I've ever had against the CPU. So Boise was insanely tough, and then had a little bit of network errors against Jacob, but at that time he was up by 10, so I was like, all right, Jacob, you were probably gonna win anyway. So Jacob beat me. Yeah, you were what's the term? IP, like, hacking me. So Boise and San Jose State were both my two losses. So beat Cole in probably the game of the year. That was incredible. Just insane. Literally came down to basically the last play of the game with that fourth and goal. Defense held still, and we got the dub. So happy for that. That basically saved my chances of still playing in the conference championship. But job's not done yet. I have to play Mitch in Utah State, which is low-key, like, it could be pretty difficult. I mean, I'm not going to say, oh, yeah, like, I'm going to wipe the floor with him. I think it's gonna be interesting. And then after that, I play...
Plan on playing the CPU.
Yeah, so I have Utah State, Utah, and then Nevada to end the season before the conference championship. So I need to win all three to have that rematch against Cole in the conference championship. And then, I mean, if the dominoes fall our way, that winner of that can be the group of five representative in the college football playoff. So it will be insane. So
I will say, for it to be a college football playoff play-in game, essentially, we have to go undefeated the rest of the way. Because let's say you and me both lose a conference game, it could still be the championship, but that won't be for the playoff, because three losses are most likely just not going to get in. We have to take care of business in that aspect. And I was diving into some of the analytics here, like the point differential and stuff. So right now, Jacob, as it stands, now you've played one less game than me. Oh, wait, no. Oh, no, Boise. So Boise's played actually like two less games than me. They're at 154 points allowed. Colorado State with 160 points through 10 games. That's our program, defensive and toughness. That's what we're all about here in the Rams. And Carter with an astounding 374 points scored, which is by far the most. And he has 154 point differential, which is crazy. But then Mitch is out here with a minus 48. So just interesting stuff here as I look. Jacob, you got a 55-point differential, 230 points scored to 175 points allowed. So you're just kind of in that middle tier, really.
Yeah, we're definitely mid with a record of 5-4. I can say that three of my losses were some of the most ridiculous losses that you could have, let alone in a dynasty, but in one season. So, I mean, my first loss was Was it the Boise game?
I think it was the Boise
I'm pretty
game.
sure my first loss was against Boise State in overtime on a glitch field goal because I had a left-footed kicker. I know I have a clip of it somewhere. I might be able to post it on the YouTube channel because it's just ridiculous. Essentially, my center didn't hike the ball and the defense started moving and they were just scrummed everywhere all over my team. Whatever. We get past it. You know, we're resilient over at San Jose State. So then, what was it, the very next game or 2 weeks after, I played Mitch and I lost to Utah State on a sack fumble safety in the end zone. So I've lost 23 to 21, 27 to 24, and then I lost to my younger brother Henry, which was honestly the second game of the year behind the one that y'all two played yesterday. I had a chance to go for two for the win with 4 seconds left. I would have won 32 to 31, but I went for two, didn't get it, ended up losing 30 to 31 to Wyoming. And then just a few nights ago, I played Cole in Spartan Stadium, if that's even what it's called. I don't even know if you can call it a stadium. It's a glorified high school stadium, probably seats about 12,000 people, and that's being generous. The only non-super heartbreaking loss, ended up losing that game 20 to 10. As you can see, our defense isn't too shabby at San Jose State either. Definitely the strong suit of the team. Plus 55 point differential. It's definitely interesting. As you can see, everyone around me is very negative, including Mitch. One of five teams with a positive point differential. It's just been a tough go around this season, but one thing I can say that I can hang my hat on is I am currently and will be the only team in this conference that signs any type of four-star recruits. And we have three of them over at San Jose State. So we're building from the ground up. We're building from high school. We're going to end up having to build from the portal as well, since all of our school grades are completely terrible. We're currently a 69 overall, and we're going to just keep compounding on that year after year after year until we get up to where UNLV is right now. It's like a 76 or something like that. I know it's not much, but we'll get there eventually. To finish the year, I play Utah, Fresno, and San Diego State. So we are fighting for bowl eligibility here. I believe my next game is at Utah, which I'm sure is just going to be an absolute slugfest. And then just have to win one out of my last three games.
All I
Need
know is that once we get to the conference
to
championship,
get
definitely got to record that, get that posted. Definitely if it's me and Carter rematch, because that will be, I will be locked in for that one. That will be.
It better be. If y'all let Boise get in there, I'm gonna be pissed.
No. Can't.
Boise should not have beaten me. Can't happen. That was wild game. Yeah, we need it to be y'all too for sure. I did have a picture of the group of five or the group of five bid, so we can kind of take a look at what the playoff is looking like, but it's not gonna pull up. Oh.
We'll also say I was the group of five current one before I lost. So that was good.
Well, you can also say that
Oh,
you currently
I
own
still am
as well.
somehow. Well,
I
because I
still
still
am.
currently am first,
Well, because I
so
still currently am
technically.
first. Yeah, this would be a pretty favorable draw too, I would say. I mean, it's better than playing Clemson or Oregon or Texas, but this time the bracket's definitely
Yes.
the easy one.
Shout out
Illinois,
Vandia 81.
Washington, West Virginia too. It's kind of wild.
Louisville
And
undefeated
then
too.
even Florida.
Louisville undefeated too.
Yeah. Number two team in the country right there. That's just wild.
Good stuff.
We're good on
Good
that.
stuff.
Yep. It's been fun so far. It's tough getting 8 people to play a video game with you at the same time, to say the very least, but we've been getting through it. Any of these other topics that we want to touch on real quick? James Pierce, Falcons first round rookie, has started 2 fights in practice on Sunday morning, which I think it's awesome. We need some kind of edge, literally and figuratively, mentally and positionally. We need some kind of edge. He started a fight with Ryan Neuzel, our center, and then Matthew Bergeron. And then about 5 minutes later, a separate fight with Falcons veteran legend Jake Matthews. So I can only imagine how those went down. Haven't seen any videos or anything like that, but I like the edge. I like to see it.
You know, it's weird at well, I mean,
It's
I
weird at
understand why they do it, but
well, I mean, I
I've
understand
personally
why.
been to
I've
Falcons training
personally
camp,
been
and
to
they don't
Falcons
allow
training camp,
fans to
and
record the
they don't
practices,
allow
which
fans to
makes sense,
record the
but I
practices,
would
which
imagine that
makes sense.
there'll
But I
never be
would
any
imagine
videos
that
posted.
there will never be any videos posted.
Training camp fight season.
Training camp
Let's
fight
go.
season.
Yeah.
Let's go. Hey, it's better than nothing. We haven't had edge like that, especially on defense, in God knows how long.
John
But I
Abraham.
know during spring training camp or whatever you want to call that, David Onyemata started a fight with Matthew Bergeron as well. So we know Onyemata's like that, but seeing that from a rookie is nice, especially when he's trying to fight like 38-year-old Jake Matthews, which is just an interesting fight. I mean, they're both huge people. So, yeah, that's all I got there. Do we want to play this game we have here to kind of close the show out?
Yes, I think we should go ahead and get that started.
Hey, we
So I
should
can
go
kind of
ahead and
set the
get that
stage right
started.
here.
So I
So
can kind of set the
as
stage
everyone
right here.
knows, what is
As
the
everyone
favorite
knows, what
pastime
is the
for
favorite pastime for
males that are college football
males
fanatics? That
that
is
are
naming
college football
random
fanatics?
college
That is
football players
naming
from their
random
childhoods
college
that you had
football
not
players from
thought
their
about for
childhoods
years,
that
but
you had
just
not
randomly
thought
came to the
about
top
for
of your head.
years.
So essentially, the
Essentially,
game
the
how
game
this
how
is going to
this is
work
going to essentially the
is
game how
each
this is
person's
going
going
to
to
work.
take their turn
Each
naming an
person's going to take their
obscure
turn naming an
random college
obscure
football player from any
random
time period.
college football player from
Usually,
any
I would
time period.
imagine it's going to be somewhere in the
Usually, I would
2010s from
imagine
like
it's
our
going to be
childhood, but
somewhere in
again,
the
it just
2010s
depends
from
on
like our
what your
childhood.
prerogative
Again, it
is.
just depends on what your
And
prerogative is.
the other two
And the other
co-hosts are going
two
to have to come to a consensus
are
on
going to
if
have to
that
come
is
to a
a
consensus on if
passable
that is
obscure
a
player. The
passable
rules are
obscure
if the
player.
player that they
The rules
believe
are if
was
the
either
player
too
that they
good to be
believe
an obscure
was either too
player,
good to be
you
an
know,
obscure
again, it's
player.
up to kind of the
You know,
discretion of the
again,
two
it's up
co-hosts.
to
And again,
kind of the
be
discretion
objective.
of the
We know
two
you want
co-hosts,
to
and again,
win
be
this
objective. You know, you
competition, but
want to
you
win
know,
this
be objective
competition,
here.
but you know,
And we're just going
just
to
be
keep going
objective
until
here.
there's only
And
one
we're just going to
supreme
keep
ball
going
member
until
left,
there's
the
only
person
one
that is a
supreme ball
psycho
member
for
left,
just
the
knowing
person
that
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 is a
player even
psycho for
existed.
just knowing
So
that
that's how
player
we're going
even
to do it.
exists. So that's how we're going to do it.
All
right,
let's do it.
Who wants to start out?
I can go ahead and get us started here. We're going to start off hot here. In the spirit of Dion potentially retiring, I figured I'd start off with a Colorado quarterback, Sefo Lufau.
You have no idea who that
Yes, I
is.
do.
Yes, I do. Give me one fact about Sefo
He was the Colorado quarterback from 2013 to
Lufau.
2016.
2013, 2016.
The dark
Not good
ages of
enough.
Colorado football.
The dark ages of Colorado football.
Too
Yes.
obscure to the fact that I know you know absolutely nothing about this player and have never seen him on a football field
I
with
remember
your own watching
two
him as
eyes.
a 14-year-old
I
boy
remember
for
watching him as a
Colorado for game
14-year-old
one,
boy.
Sefo Lufau
Colorado
out
game
there.
on. Sefo Lufau out there.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to agree. That's
Yeah,
insanely
I'm gonna have to
obscure.
agree that's insanely obscure.
No point for me. I stand firm on my decision. These have to be people that you've actually
I have.
watched
I
play.
promise you, I have. I
I swear. I
swear.
mean, I can go look
I
up.
swear. I
I can go
swear.
look up the
I swear.
weirdest, most obscure college football
No, I
players
swear,
too.
dude.
That
I'm
doesn't mean I
not.
know
No, I
anything
swear,
about them
dude.
or what I
I
saw.
watched this man play on my
I
TV.
watched
I
this
swear
man
to you,
play
this guy
on TV.
started
I swear
for
to you, this guy
Colorado for
started
three
for
seasons. That's
Colorado for
2013 to 2016 that you're watching random college football games and you see this man starting. Sorry, I'm too good at the game.
Sorry, I'm too good at the game.
I don't think you understand the rules of your own game. No, because I made the rules of the game. It's naming obscure and random college football players. And from what I said, the fact that I'm a psycho for even knowing who that is, to the point where you guys are arguing on if that's too obscure of a player, that's
No,
horrible.
I give you a point, Cole.
How about you guys go and name like Bryce Petty or something? Like everyone knows who that is. Like, guys, just go ahead and go.
Guess I'll go. All right, so this guy played running back at Alabama. Well, he was there from like 2005 to like 2009, but I specifically remember watching him play in the SEC championship game, Alabama, Florida. Glenn Coffey.
So a player from when Carter was 6 years old is cool, but when a player that when I'm 15 is not. Okay. I'll give it to you because that is an obscure player, so that is a good pick. But find it funny how I'm questioned, but Carter was probably 6 years
He was
old.
actually good. Like, people know who Glenn Coffey is.
But that's the whole point. The more
But that's
obscure of
the
a
whole
player,
point.
like
The more obscure of a player.
that's the whole point. Like, anyone can name a
That's
good
the
player,
whole
but the
point.
whole point
Anyone
of
can
being an
name a
obscure
good
and crazy
player,
player
but
is
the
the
whole
fact
point of
that
being an
I'd,
obscure and crazy player is the
if you
fact that
go, oh
I,
shoot, I didn't even know that guy played
if you
college
go, oh
football.
shoot, I didn't know that guy played
Point for
college
you,
football.
but it's just me.
Holton Ahlers.
That he was he was
That
the
he
ECU
was he.
quarterback, Eastern
He was
Carolina
the
quarterback.
ECU, Eastern Carolina quarterback. Yep.
I'll give it to you. That's a good pull.
I
I'll
like
give it
it.
to you. That's a good pull. All right. Arizona edge rusher Scooby Wright.
Arizona edge rusher Scooby
Dude,
Wright.
you just stole mine. That's exactly who I was
He
gonna
was a
pick.
legend, dude.
Bruh, I'm actually
Funny.
so triggered. You literally just stole mine, but that's a good pull. Damn. All right, well, you guys will probably know who this is, but Michael Bennett from UGA wide receiver.
Not obscure enough. I'm
Yeah, you
sorry. Signed by
fucker, you
law.
took mine. You
Not
took
obscure
my
enough. I cannot give you that point.
I was gonna go
I haven't
Scooby
gone a
Wright, you
guy. I've gone a
stole
bunch.
it. I'm so mad. I couldn't think of anyone else off the top of my head but Scooby Wright.
That's funny. How about Dimitri Flowers?
Oh, that's a good pull.
Fullback tight end from Arizona, or not Arizona, Oklahoma during our Rose Bowl game, and he caught that crazy touchdown pass in the very back corner of the end
Yep. I
zone.
thought you were going to say Mark Andrews for a second. I was
I thought
going
you were going to say
to
Mark Andrews for a second. I was going to
laugh.
laugh.
No, he was like the third
I
string.
will. Now that Carter is out, his
Now
like
that
vote is
Carter
the
is out,
supreme
like vote is the supreme like
his rule goes.
his
How
rule
about
goes.
Baylor wide receiver KD
About Baylor wide
Cannon?
receiver KD Cannon. Oh
Good
yeah,
one.
I remember him. Yep, that was a good one. All those wide receivers in that time in the Big 12 were all just like sick. Like Kevin White, Bears huge flame out, first round draft pick.
Steve
Steve Slayton from West
probably
Virginia.
played
Steve
like,
Slayton from West Virginia.
yeah. I wonder how many games Kevin White played in the NFL. I bet you it's less than 10. Being a first round draft pick.
Tavon Austin.
All right, I guess that was mine.
Tavon Austin. Was that your player? Was that your player?
I guess so, yeah.
Carter,
It's
is
not good
Kevin
enough to have
White
another one, but
enough of a
Carter is
pull?
Kevin White. Enough of a
Yeah, so I
pull?
mean he like
Yeah, so I mean,
everyone
he, like, everyone,
sure, yeah, I'll give it to you.
I'll
Sure,
say
yeah,
he was a first round pick. That's kind
I'll
of
say he was a
questionable,
first round
but
pick. That's kind of questionable.
it's obscure
Your
enough.
vote rules.
It's obscure
We're
vote
thinking
rules.
of obscure wide
When we're
receivers.
thinking
How
of
about this
obscure
obscure
wide
Alabama wide
receivers,
receiver,
how about this
Ardarius
obscure
Stewart?
Alabama wide receiver, Ardarius Stewart. Yeah, that
Yeah,
works.
that's a good one.
Yeah, that was a good one. You got me thinking of Oklahoma tight ends now. How about Blake Barnett, tight end slash quarterback?
That's a pull.
That's a good
USF legend. USF legend.
That's a good one.
Yep.
Oh,
That's a good one.
I just thought up a good one
Oh,
that
I
I'm
just thought
actually
of a
mad
good one.
I didn't
Yeah,
say.
I'm actually mad
what about
I
this
didn't
legend
say.
right here? Washington
What
running
about
back
this legend
Bishop
right here?
Sankey.
Washington running back
Dude, that's a
Bishop
good one
Sankey.
too.
Ooh, I thought he was going to be like that, the NFL.
Was he there when Washington made the playoff with Jake Browning?
He was like a 12 or 13-ish player.
He reminds me of like Monte Ball.
Yeah. Continuing with the tight end trend, how about Blake Bell, the Belldozer?
And I like that one. That's good.
Obscure tight end slash quarterback. The Belldozer.
I'm continuing this tight end trend, and I'm going with Wisconsin legend Troy Fumagalli.
I remember. That's a good one too.
Yeah, I like that. How about Donnell Pumphrey from San Diego State? Ooh,
that's a good one too.
That's why Drew's pro potential for running backs is crazy high at San Diego State.
Sticking on the Wisconsin trend, Jared Abradaris, wide receiver.
I remember him. He made that insane, like, behind the back catch. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I like, I don't know why I keep saying Oklahoma players, Landry Jones.
Steelers.
He was, while we were growing up, Oklahoma quarterback.
Steelers legend.
Oh, he was a Steeler?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like Landry Jones. That's cool.
That USF legend, Quentin Flowers.
That USF legend, Quentin Flowers. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a good one. I like that one. We got on the flowers trend. Let me see here. Let me check my notes. This one might not be obscure enough, but he was just one of the most electric players to watch, and he played at an obscure school. Jordan Lynch.
NIU legend.
NIU legend.
Yeah, I remember him. All right. I'll give it to you.
Navy legend Keegan Reynolds.
Dude, actually was a Heisman finalist at one year. That's a good one.
Yeah, I do like that one too. How about Pat White? Probably should have won the Heisman all the way back in
that
the day.
That is
not good enough.
Nah. That guy's a college football legend.
Yeah, and he also played in the NFL for a number of years. With, I think, Dolphins, but not.
Honorable mention, Eric Zaire.
But not. Dude, I was going to say Ryan Swope.
Oh, that's a good one.
And I'm so pissed off I did not say it.
Ooh, how about Brian Switzer, the returner
Steeler legend. Another
Steeler
legend.
How about Texas A&M legend, a guy that does not get as much credit as he deserves for that Alabama upset in 2012, DeShazer Everett.
Who was the wide receiver they had number 22 that Manziel was throwing to?
Malcolm Kennedy.
That was Swope.
And Swope.
Yeah.
What about Rakeem Cato?
Is he
Marshall?
Who was he? Was he
Marshall?
Yeah. Man, just doing this got me more pumped than I already was, dude.
Case Keenum, the all-time passing yards leader in the history of college football. That's a wild stat. What about Oregon running back Royce Freeman? Probably not obscure enough, but he was there with... Herbert?
I think he was there.
Is he like Anthony Brown, like that era?
Was there a quarterback they had Thompson with LaMichael James?
Oh,
he was after LaMichael James.
It was something Thomas. What was his name? I gotta look this up because they played against Auburn. Who is this dude? Darren Thomas. That's who it was.
Yeah.
Michael Dyer.
Well,
what a pull.
I think this was a good little exercise, good way to finish off the episode. I think that's going to do it. We're obviously going to have these dynasty updates, and we'll try to keep a consistent schedule. Again, just depends on everyone's schedule and whatnot. But if that's it for you boys, I think we can go ahead and finish this one out.
Mm-hmm. I don't have anything else.
Man, it was fun. For Nine Pulse, episode 27. I'll see you guys next time. When we have no idea, but we'll see you guys next time.